तपकथामृतं ताप्तजीवनं कविविरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ये भुरिदा जनाः. द नेक्चर ऑफ द वर्ड्स इज द लाइफ फॉर दोज हु आर स्कॉर्ज्ड बाय द वर्ल्ड, द वर्ड्स व्हिच हैव बीन अटर्ड बाय द नोअर्स ऑफ ट्रुथ, व्हिच वाइप आउट सिंस, द वेरी हियरिंग ऑफ व्हिच इज बेनिफिशियल, व्हिच आर ब्यूटिफुल, pleasing to the ears, pleasing to the hearts, which are inexhaustible, those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Talks with Swami Vivekananda. Recorded by Sharad Chandra Chakraborty, a disciple of Swami Vivekananda. Swamiji was talking about religious sect. Sects are good. But sectarianism is bad. Emotion is good. But emotionalism is not good. All religions, they fight, different sects, they fight among themselves. It comes from narrowness, bigotry, superstition. In every religion, in Christianity, Protestant, Catholics, and there are so many denominations in Christianity. Islam also, Sufi, Sunni, Shia, Sunni, Sufi, fight. Among Hindus, not murdering among them, they have so much, my God is the greatest than your God, that is the way. Vishnu is greater than Shiva. Shiva followers say Shiva is greater than Vishnu. The mother's followers say mother is higher than Krishna, Vishnu. In this way, we see different groups have their different views about religion. In this age, Sri Ramakrishna came to make the harmony of religions, harmony of sects. Those who would come to Sri Ramakrishna, they would see, he's a great Vaishnava. The followers of Shiva came and they said, oh, the follower of he's a great follower of Shiva. The mother devotees came, oh, he's a follower of Divine Mother. The Christians came, oh, he's like Jesus. Then the Brahmas came, oh, he's like us. So Sri Ramakrishna could change his position and become one with every sect. That is one of the beautiful things we find in Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, harmony. The disciple was asking that to Swamiji, you have power, easily you could preach Sri Ramakrishna in the West. Swamiji said, no. I am the last person who will do that. I know personality cult spreads very fast and dies also very fast. It is just like hay fire. It whoosh and then goes down. But a big piece of wood takes time to ignite. And when it ignites, it goes for a many, many, many long years. It can continue. So Sri Ramakrishna Swamiji says, I preach the principle, not the person. I taught the universal aspect of Vedanta to the West. And those who are very devoted, close, I told them about Sri Ramakrishna, that we shall listen from Swamiji. Swamiji, well, you have to be sure, read my lectures, but where have I built on Ramakrishna's name? It is only the pure Upanishadic religion that I have gone about preaching in the world. disciple. That is true indeed. But what I find by being familiar with you is that you have surrendered yourself, body and soul to Ramakrishna. If you have understood Sri Ramakrishna to be the Lord himself, why not give it out to the people at large? Very good question. Swamiji, well, I do preach what I have understood. And if you have found the Advaitic principles of Vedanta to be the truest religion, then why don't you go out and preach it to all men? This disciple was very learned, well-versed in Vedanta. When Swamiji returned to Calcutta, Shishir Kumar Ghosh, he was a great Vaishnava, came to Vivekananda and said, why don't you preach Radha and Krishna to America? That is the love aspect of God. Swamiji made a remark, well, a Radha Krishna love aspect, American people are expert. They are better than Indians, you see. Love, love, love. I taught them what is good for them, Vedanta. Disciple, but I must realize before I can preach it to others, I have only studied Advaitism in books. Swamiji, good, realize first and then preach. Now, therefore, you have no right to say anything of the beliefs each man tries to live by, for you also proceed now only by putting your faith on some such beliefs. Preaching is very difficult because you have to believe what you are preaching and you must have experience. I think I don't remember that one. I think Voltaire or Rousseau, Voltaire, says that you do not believe in religion and God, why don't you go to the church and hear that person? Believe, really, I do not believe God, but that person has so much faith, I like that person, that what he teaches, what he believes. Believing. Swamiji was asking his disciple, Swami Shuddhananda, why don't you go and teach? But what shall I teach? But the thing which you have learned from me, that you tell people. Then our Virajananda, he mentioned, Swami, one should not preach God until you realize God. If you do not know God, you are talking about God. It does not work. Swamiji says, you are right. But do you know what? You should not preach that you know, I know God, people listen. You gathered wisdom. That wisdom you share with the audience. That you can do. That is karma yoga. That is Seva. I am serving you what I have learned. And it gave me peace. It gave me joy. That I am sharing with you. Not that you listen, that I am a preacher and you people listen. Not like that. That Swamiji told his first disciple. And second disciple, Virajananda, he said, go to Bangladesh and teach Vedanta. Sir, first let me realize God, then I shall teach. Well, no, go. Then he says, I do not know anything, what shall I teach? Well, just go and tell the audience that I do not know anything. That would be a great teaching. Hello, please, all of you listen, that I do not know anything. Well, that is a great message. Do you know what does it mean? There is a mantra in the Keno Upanishad. Abhijnatam, Vijanatam, Vijnatam, Abhijanatam. Those who say, I know, they do not know. Those who say, I do not know, they know. But how does it mean? What does it mean? It means knowing Brahman, that I know Brahman, that means that person does not know. The person, the knower of Brahman, he becomes one with Brahman. At that time, the subject and object become one. So he was telling, just go and tell, people will appreciate your humility, that I do not know anything. Disciple, true, I am also living now by believing in something, but I have the scriptures for my authority. I do not accept any faith opposed to the shastras, the scriptures. He is well versed in Upanishad and Gita and Vedanta literature, and I go by the scripture. And I do not accept any faith which is contrary to my scripture. Immediately Swamiji stopped him. What do you mean by the Shastras? If the Upanishads are the authority, why not the Bible or the Jendavastha equally so? The Muslims believe the Quran is the authority. Christians believe Bible, the Parsis, the Zoroastrians believe Zendavastha. They are equally valid, their scriptures. And you think my scripture is the only valid, other scriptures are not valid? No, it does not work. Disciple, granted, though these scriptures are also good authority, they are not, however, as old as the Vedas. And nowhere, moreover, is the theory of the Atman better established than in the Vedas. Still, he wants that you still have my Vedanta is better, you know. I had a friend, he is Jesuit, in St. Louis University, he was a professor, Father Francis. He used to tell me, Swami, we have a little problem. We think among the Christians, Catholics are the best. We are very close to Christ than the Protestant and other people, you see. But Swami, my neighbor, he is a Lutheran, very good person, Swami, but still I feel that I am better than him because I am Catholic. And we believe that women, men are better than women, and white people are better than black, dark people. Swami, we cannot help it, it is in our blood. He was a very frank, very good person. So this person believes our Upanishad, Atman, the top. And the other thing are all second category, you know. Everybody thinks that way. Swamiji, supposing I admit that contention of yours, what right have you to maintain that truth can be found nowhere except in the Vedas? You know, this person is Ekadeshi. Me, my path is the right path. Others' path are okay. This is the place where Sri Ramakrishna plays an important role in this modern age. Different paths lead to the same goal. I sometimes say, if you go to the arch, you can go by 40, then 55, then 44, then Linjal Boulevard, then Jelmar Boulevard. All these roads meet the arch. If you think that only Jelmar Boulevard or only Linjal Boulevard can go to the arch, that is not right. Those who are on the ground, they see only one path. But if you go in the airplane or in helicopter, you see all these freeways and all these roads are meeting the arch. You will have to go up. The more you are spiritually advanced, you can see harmony of religions. In bottom plane, fight. Because very narrow, we Linjal people only thinks only this is the way. Jalmar people thinks only this is the way. We 40 people, highway 40 people only this is the way. But when they go up, they see there are many roads meet the horse. I remember when I was in Laguna, I got some gas smell in my room. So immediately I called the gas company, immediately a man came. So he was shaking with all his machine. Then he was, I can say, no, there is no leak. But I smell. How shall I know there is no leak, there is no gas in my wall heater? Oh, you want to see? He, you know, turned on the matchstick and he was moving like this on my furnace. Did you see? If there is a gas, it will light you. Immediately you will get fire. All right. Then he saw me in ochre cloth, he was asking me, which religion you have? Uncle, I am a Vedanta monk, Hindu religion. Then he said, I am a Presbyterian in Saddleback Church. Then looking at me, he was like, well, you can go to LA in many ways. From Laguna Beach to Los Angeles, you can go 4 or 5, you can go by 5, you can go many ways, you can go to Los Angeles. You can go, I can, oh my God, here's a gas man, not very educated perhaps, but gave me a piece of wisdom, you see. I have some hope. Disciple, yes, truth may also exist in all the scriptures other than the Vedas, and I don't say anything to the contrary, but as for me, I chose to abide by the teachings of the Upanishads, for I have great faith in them. Swamiji, quite welcome to do that. But if somebody else has very great faith in other set of doctrines, surely you should allow him to abide by that. You will discover that in the long run, both he and yourself will arrive at the same goal. For haven't you read in the Mahimna Stotram, Tamasi Poyasam Ornavaiva? That is a beautiful verse in Shiva Mahimna Stotram. Ruchinam Vaichitrat Rijukutilonana Patajusham Niname Kogamimam Parasi Tamasi Poyasam Ornavaiva. And different rivers originate from different places, but all meet the ocean. Similarly, all religious faiths originated at different times, at different places, but all meet to the same God. Next chapter. Initiating the disciple, origin of the sacred thread, the problem of virtue and vice when is the self-realized. Place Alam Bazar Mart, year 1897, May. In the English, some portion has not been translated. Which has not been translated, I'm going to tell you. Swamiji was not very well. Excessive heat in Calcutta, April, May. He went to Darjeeling, a cooler place in the Himalayas. And then after staying there a couple of months, then he came to Calcutta. And now he's staying in the monastery, which is on the bank of the Ganges. The disciple visits Swamiji now and then, And sometimes he stays in the monastery also. This man, Sharadchandra Chakravarti, was very devoted to Nag Mahashaya, the household devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. He is an illumined soul. So he asked him that, will you initiate me? Nag Mahashaya said, no, I am not Brahmin. And you are Brahmin. I cannot initiate you. Then he was pleading, but you are an illumined soul. Then he said, your guru will be Lord Shiva. Shiva will initiate you. This disciple was overwhelmed because he knew this man never spoke untruth in his life. Only truth comes from his lips. And whatever he says, that will happen. So he stopped pleading him to give him initiation. So when Swamiji arrived from America to India, one afternoon after lunch, Swamiji was resting in his room. So a disciple went there and found Swamiji sleeping. So he was looking, he found Lord Shiva. The image of Shiva is on the bed. So he started to rub his eyes. Then again he saw it is Swami Vivekananda. Again he saw Lord Shiva. Again he saw Swami Vivekananda. Then he was thinking, Nag Mahashaya said that your guru will be Lord Shiva. Swamiji should be my guru. So he decided that when Swamiji would come back from Darjeeling, I would approach to him for initiation. Then he wrote a letter to Swamiji that Swamiji wrote him back. If Nag Mahashaya has no objection, then I shall be glad to initiate you. That letter still was with the disciple. It was Vaishakh 19, 1303. In May, early part of May 1897, Swamiji decided to initiate the disciple. It was a very auspicious day for him. He took bath in the Ganges and brought some leeches, some fruits, and some other articles to give to the guru. At 8 o'clock, he arrived at Alam Bazar Mosque. Seeing the disciple, Swamiji said, "As to ke boli dite hobe. Boli means, do you know what boli means? In the sacrifice, they cut the neck of the goat sacrifice. He was making joke. Mane, today I shall sacrifice you. Mane, dedicate you to God. That is the, Swamiji was making fun of it. Then he was, Alam Bazar Mosque, seeing the disciple, Swamiji jocosely said, "Well, you are to be sacrificed today, are you not?" After this remark, Swamiji with a smile resumed his talk with others about American subjects, and in due relevancy came along some topics also, as how one pointed in devotion one has to be in order to build up a spiritual life, how firm faith and strong devotion to the guru have to be kept up, how deep reliance has to be placed on the words of the guru, and how even one's life has to be laid down for his sake. Then putting some questions to the disciple, Swamiji began to test his heart. "Well, are you ready to do my bidding to your utmost, whatever it be and whenever it may come? If I ask you to plunge into the Ganges, or to jump from the roof of a house, meaning it all for your good, could you do even that without any hesitation? Just think of it, even now. Otherwise, don't rush forward on the spur of the moment to accept me as your guru." And the disciple nodded assent to all questions of the kind. You will have to understand, Swamiji was a Brahmo. He did not believe in Guru. He did not believe God in form. He did not believe the theory of reincarnation. He did not believe in non-dualism. But later on, he believed all these things by the influence of Sri Ramakrishna, Guru. Look what Swamiji wrote about his Guru. Samshaya Rakshasa Nasa Mahastram Yami Gurum Saranam Bhavaidyam Naradeva Deva Jai Jai Naradeva. O Master, you are born in this age to destroy the greatest demon one can think of, doubt. Ramakrishna was born in this age to destroy the doubt about God from the minds of the people. Yami Gurum Saranam Bhavaidyam, O Guru, I bow down to you. Advaya tattva samayita chittam prajjala bhakti pachabrita vittam karma kalivaram advuta chestam yami gurum sharanam bhavaidyam. I bow down to my Guru, whose mind is immersed in the non-dual Brahman. At the same time, his whole being is manifested with love and devotion. At the same time, he was a great worker. I bow down to my Guru. So, Naradeva Deva, Jai Jai Naradeva, this is the way Swamiji glorifies his Guru. Tremendous Guru Bhakti. Similarly, we found that when Swamiji was initiated, Swami Sarupananda, he was a married man, editor of the Dawn magazine. Wanted to be a monk. Swamiji said, "You really want to be a monk? I shall ask you to jump. Shaper mukhe jaite bolibo. I shall go in front of a poisonous cobra. I shall ask you to go in front of a hungry tiger. I shall ask you to jump in front of a roaring cannon. Will you be agreeable?" "Yes, sir. Whatever you say." Then Swamiji initiated him. Then he met, "Today I have a great acquisition." He was a great writer. And he became the first president of Advaita Ashrama. He translated the Bhagavad Gita. Then another disciple came, Kalyanananda. "Hey, I want to be your disciple." "Really? But I shall sell you. I need some money. I shall make you a coolie in the tea garden." Swamiji was testing. In the tea garden, there's some kind of porters, you know, they carry all the tea leaves and all those things. "I shall sell you there and get some money. I need some money. Whatever you want to do, sir, sell me." Swamiji was... Then Swami Atmananda came. Swamiji was testing him. "You want to be my disciple?" "Yes." Then he said, "Sir, I have no qualification or capacity to be your disciple. But do you know what? I have this body, flesh and bone, and I have a mind. All these things I want to put at your feet. And you do whatever you want." He became a great, great monk. There is a book, "They are Monastic Disciples of Swami Vivekananda." I gave classes on that book here some years ago. They're great, great people. So the disciple agreed. Swamiji then continued, "The real Guru is he who leads you beyond this maya of endless birth and death, who, graciously destroys all the griefs and maladies of the soul. The disciple of the of old used to repair to the hermitage of the Guru, fuel in hand, and the Guru, after ascertaining his competence, would teach him the Vedas after initiation, fastening round his waist the threefold filament of munja, a kind of grass, as the emblem of his vow, to keep his body, mind, and his speech in control. With the help of this girdle, the disciple used to tie up his kopina, later on the custom of wearing the sacred thread superseded this girdle of munja grass. My goodness, Swamiji had so much wisdom about this ancient tradition. He's talking about the science of a guru and the science of a disciple. What are the signs of a guru? Shankara mentioned Shrutriyo, Abrajino, Akamahato, Satyakamo, Satyasankalpo. These are the general signs of a good teacher, Shrutriyo. When he teaches what he knows the inner meaning of the scripture and the word meaning of the scripture. Abrijino, his character must be good. He must be a pure soul. An immoral person cannot be a guru. Akamahatu, desireless. He will not demand anything from you. Satyakamo, Satyasankalpa. He is a man of truth, man of love. And disciple, he was talking about disciple. Which is in the Munjaka Upanishad. Pariksha Lokan Karma Chitan Brahmano Nidvedan Ayat Nasti Akrita Kritena Tat Gurume Bhavi Gachet Tat Vigyanartham Sa Gurume Bhavi Gachet Samitpani Shrutiyam Brahmanishtam. He is talking about the disciple. Who is a good disciple? Pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmano nirveda mayat. A true disciple discriminates. He sees this world. What does he see? Action. Karma chitan. Through action, you can manushya loka, a deva loka. Through action, you can go to heaven. You can be very prosperous. You can do anything in this world through action. But he sees the result of action is not a permanent thing. Action, I am great, great worker. I fulfill all my desires. I am a very successful person. But what next? That does not bring liberation. Nirveda mayata. So he gives up action. Action means kama karma, desire, action to fulfill the desires. So what does he do? See, he goes to the guru. How does he go? Samit pani. He goes with ouds, sacrificial ouds in their hands. You see, in Vedic age, there was no electricity, no gas, no matchboxes, nothing of the sort. But in guru's house, they always keep the fire on. So they used to go bring firewood. Disciple would carry firewood to the guru's house. That is the way you put in the fireplace. Fire is very, very important. If you read Greek mythology, Prometheus brought fire from heaven. So a fire is very, very important. For the reason the Vedic rishis, they continuously do the sacrifice. Fire, fire, fire. So anyhow, so Samitpani, he carries sacrificial wood in his hand. Guru, Shrutriyam, Brahmanishtam, he knows the scriptures and his mind is established in Brahman. So he is giving the illustration that how a disciple should be and the guru should be. This is all Vedic period. But then now it happened in Hollywood. When I told this story, my goodness, do you know what happened? Christmas time, I got with the saran wrap a big basket. I opened it, I saw a big piece of wood, round yellow. so big piece of wood in a big box with ceramic, very beautiful colored paper, you know. So, I told them, hey, Hollywood, you know, they don't see anything. They take it literally. They're hippies somehow. They're my hippie disciple, husband and wife, gave the piece of wood. I go, shh, how shall I be here? So I was about to throw away. Uma, then I see, let me see. There is $100 bill with the scotch tape with the wood. $100 bill with the scotch tape that also pasted on the piece of wood. Then I come, all right. You see, I became a hippie guru. Swamiji was talking about munja. Munja is a one kind of grass, which is threefold. Mane bagdanjo, kaidanjo, manadanjo. Mane the three things, they reminds me. I must have control over the body. I must have control over my speech. I must have control over my mind. That is called munja. How it comes, look how the evolution, that munja, the Vedic period, the students would come, the guru will put the munja around the waist, and then they have a kopin, the cloth around, you know, their kopin on. So, the loin cloth. But you know, when I had my secretariat ceremony, there are 9 donjos. There are 3 donjis, the gotra, the lineage of the rishis I come from. You will have to repeat that rishi's name. Kashyapa, Bharadvaja, Kshatriya, in this way you will have to make a knot. So I learned, my mother used to make that secret thread, so my knee should be like this. Then 3, then here I make a knot. 1, then another. 2, 3 times, 3 rows. So when I have here, there are 9 strings are there, but 3 knots, 3 donji. I have control over my speech, I have control over my mind, I have control over my body. So that, as a Brahmin, you will have to repeat Gayatri Mantra holding that sacred thread 108 times in the morning and evening before you eat any food. That is a Brahminical tradition. But do you know what happened? When I then came to Calcutta, so sometimes I used to swim in the Ganges. So one day my sacred thread was carried away by the current of the river. So I did not have sacred thread. So I was a little sad. I will have to make again, you know, I do not have thread with me. So what happened? My landlord, the owner of the house, I was a tenant. They are not Brahmins, but they have so much faith in me. They came, lady came and said, will you do a little ritual in our shrine? Then I said, I'm sorry, I do not have sacred thread. then lady said, it is all right. If you come and repeat your mantra in my shrine, that will be all right. So I went there and told, please close the door. Then I was alone in the shrine. I prayed and I repeated my mantra. Then I offered their food to the lodge and then came to my room. I still remember. I was in the ninth grade in school. It was in 1952. This tradition, the disciples, look what disciples say. Would you then say, sir, that the use of the holy thread we have adopted is not really Vedic custom? Swamiji, nowhere is there mention of the thread being so used in the Vedas. Swamiji was so well versed. The modern author of the Smritis, Raghunandan Bhattacharya, also puts it thus, at this stage, referring, that is to say, to some steps to the, in the Vedic ceremony of a Brahmana initiation, the sacrificial girdle should be put on. Neither in Govila Grijya Sutras do we find any mention of the girdle made of thread. In the Shastras, this first Vedic Samaskara, purification ceremony before the Guru, has been called the Upanayana. But see to what a sad pass our country has been brought. Straying away from the true path of Shastras, the country has been overwhelmed with usages of observances originating in particular localities or popular opinion or with the women folk. That's why I ask you to proceed along the path of the Shastras as in modern times. Have faith within yourselves and thereby bring it back into the country. Plant your heart the faith of Nachiketa, even so, off to the world of Yama like him. Yes, if to know the secrets of the Atman, to liberate your soul, to reach the true solution of the mystery of birth and death, you have to go to the very jaws of death and realize the truth thereby. Well, go there with an undaunted heart. It is fear alone that is death. You have to go beyond all fear. So from this day, be fearless. Off at once to lay down your life for your own liberation and for the good of others. What good is it carrying along a load of bones and flesh? Initiated into the mantra of extreme self-sacrifice for the sake of God, go, lay down for others this body of flesh and bones like Muni Dodichi. Those alone, say the Shastras, are the real gurus who have studied the Vedas and the Vedanta, who are knowers of Brahman, who are able to lead others beyond to fearlessness. When such are at hand, get yourself initiated. No speculation in such a case. Do you know what has become to this principle now? Like the blind leading the blind. It's a powerful speech. Do you know what Swamiji is talking about? Swamiji is talking, look, the degradation of the society. Why? All kinds of religious superstition, local superstition, women's superstition, then various things introduced into religion, and religion becomes hodgepodge. Hodgepodge. I sometimes make a joke, Hindu religion is really a mess. Sometimes you break a coconut, well, that is religion. You will offer a goat, well, that is religion. It is all mess. Swamiji, for that reason, he was trying to redefine religion in this world. Religion means realization of God. That is true religion. Other the customs, you know, is South Indian customs, Bengali customs, Gujarati customs, Assamese customs. We have so many customs. In our village, my goodness, there are so many, oh, they have so much faith, the women, and all lokachar, popular things introduced into the religion, make the priest people, these all these things. Swami just talking about, he was trying to bring the Vedic religion. Duravastha. Lokachar, Deshachar, Istriachar. Then Swamiji is telling what we need now, right now. Shraddha. Faith. Like he was talking about Kathopanishad. The story goes, Nachiketa was a young boy. He saw his father was performing a sacrifice. According to the rule of that sacrifice, you were supposed to offer everything. He saw that his father is offering only some old cows. Then he said, my father is not very sincere. He is not keeping his words. So he went to him and said, according to the rule of the sacrifice, You will have to renounce everything. Whom will you renounce? Whom will you renounce me? Then the father says, oh, you are my son, I am not going to renounce you. No, according to the rule, you are supposed to renounce me also. I give you to Yama, the god of death. So Nachiketa went to the god of death, and god of death was not at home. He went somewhere for 3 days. And in 3 days, the little boy did not eat anything, stayed. When Yama came, his secretary said, a blazing fire, that brahmachari is staying at the gate. You must please him first, then do any other things. Then Yama, the god of death, came and asked, who are you? What do you want? Well, I want to know about Atman. Some people say people die. When they die, Atman remains. Some people say they do not remain. I have doubt. People have doubt. So I want to know about it. Oh, no, no. Don't ask this question. Ask some other questions. No, that is my question. Then Yama started chanting that, you know, have long life, plenty of wealth, and be an emperor, have these beautiful celestial girls. He said, no, 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 no. He said, all no. Then he said, then you are the right person. I shall teach you. First boon, what I am, because 3 days you are at my door, I shall give you 3 boons. Ask the first one. Well, my father is mad at me. So when I return from your home, god of death means you are a dead person, you see. Ghost. But let my father recognize me. Well, all right. Second boon. See, people say about heaven. I like to know about that heaven. So Yama explained heaven. The third question, about Atman. That is the Upanishad. That's how he said, if you have this Shraddha, you can have the knowledge of the Atman. And don't be afraid to go to the god of death. That he was pounding on that. Bhayi mrittu. Fear is the death. And if you have the knowledge of the Atman, do you know what does the Upanishad say? Na bibhiti kodachana, na bibhiti kutashana. That person is never afraid of anything, anybody, not afraid of any time. He becomes completely fearless. A Nora Brahman. That he said. And this fear comes from duality. When you have non-dual knowledge, you have no fear. Anyhow, Swamiji gave a good lecture. And what is the necessity of carrying a cage of flesh and bone? Give it to God. Swamiji is like Dodichi. That is another story of Dodichi. Dodichi was a great sage, very pure. Now gods are defeated by the demons, Vrittasura, and they are thrown out from heaven. So Indra, the king of gods, went to Vishnu. Vishnu says, well, you are defeated. Do you know when we get defeated? When the moment we have ego. The gods' ego inflated, so yeah, they are defeated by the demons. So he said, well, you can kill the demon by a weapon. Name of weapon is Vajra, thunderbolt. But how to make that Vajra? You go and find out the purest person in this world. If he wants to give his bone, with that bone you can make that weapon and kill that demon. So they found out who is the purest form, they found the Dodichi. So the gods went to Dodichi and said, look, he's great sage, we have a request. Well, what request? we want to defeat this demon, we want to make an weapon, we know your bone is the purest bone, we want to make a weapon, we need your bones. Very good. Now I shall meditate and give up my body, and then you take my bone and make the vajra, thunderbolt. So Dodiji gave up his body for the good of the gods, for his spirituality. And that Swamiji is telling, this person is 100% unselfish. So Indra made the vajra and killed Vittasu. That is all Puranic galpa. But there is a great message there, you know. If you have purity, you are invincible. You are powerful. Dodiji. Then he told more about the science of a guru who have studied the Vedas and the Vedanta first, who are knowers of Brahman second, who are able to lead others beyond to fearlessness third. When such are at hand, get yourself in shape. If you find such a person in your life, accept him as your guru. No speculation in such a case. Otherwise, nowadays, he says, like the blind leading the blind. It is also in the Katha Upanishad and Munduka Upanishad. Avidyayamantare vartamana swayam dhira panjita manyamana jangannamana pariyanti mudha andena iva niyamana jathandha. A blind person leads other blind, and both fall into ditch. That is the meaning. They call it the shepherd boys. They grab one sheep and walk forward, and all sheep follow. All sheep follow. Because our leader is in front. So he was talking about, if you are a blind person and if you lead these masses, you will be in the ditch and they will be also in the ditch. You will be responsible for the death of many people, you see. It was 9 o'clock. This portion is not yet translated. It was 9 o'clock. Swamiji went to the Ganges, took his bath, came back, put on his ochre robe, and then he went to the shrine, sat down, and worshipped Sri Ramakrishna. And the disciple was waiting outside. Swamiji was immersed in meditation on the lotus position. His eyes are almost closed, as if his body is motionless. After meditating some time, Swamiji called, Baba, my son, please come in. The disciple entered the shrine, closed the door. Swamiji, the disciple closed the door, sit down, left side. The disciple's heart was palpitating. Then the Swamiji put his hand on his head and asked a few questions, and the disciple answered. Then Swamiji repeated this siege mantra 3 times, and disciple repeated 3 times. Then Swamiji gave some instruction how to meditate, how to repeat mantra. Then he was looking at the eyes of his disciple. The disciple was overwhelmed, calm, serene. How long he was in that stage, he did not know. After a while, Swamiji said, give me the fee, Guru Dakshina. Sir, what can I give to you? Go to the stores, kitchen, shrine store, and bring some fruits. So he brought some leeches. So he brought 10 leeches to Swamiji. Leechy. So Swamiji sat and immediately started to eat leeches. Yeah. So Guru Dakshina de Ohegalo, you finished your Dakshina. She showed Thakur and Swamiji Niko. When disciple was initiated, Swami Shuddhananda was waiting outside. He previously took some tantric initiation, but seeing he had the desire to get initiation from Swamiji. So seeing Shuddhananda's earnestness, Swamiji again went to the shrine and meditated and again initiated Swami Shuddhananda. About Dakshina. It is a custom. When you get initiation, you must give something to your guru. Here some people give money, some other things. But generally, I ask them bring fruits, two fruits, one for the Ishta and one for Guru, and some flowers for offering. I remember when I was initiated, I had no money, and ashrama money I cannot take. So my friend got some 2 rupees from somebody and gave to me, 2 rupees. So 1 rupee, like silver, 1 rupee coin, that is my dakshina. And another rupee I bought 8 annas fruits and 8 annas sweets. Because we are monk, we are brahmachari, are ordinary people, they can buy cloth, chador for the guru, dhoti, chador. But because we are brahmachari, we have no money. So we give these things to. And flowers, Belur Maj gave flowers. So after initiation, I went to my mentor. He was the principal of the training center. He asked me, did you give Guru Dakshina? I told him, yes. What did you give? I told him, I gave 1 rupee. No, you did not give Guru Dakshina. I told him, yes, Maharaj, I gave. No, you did not give Guru Dakshina. Then he explained what is real Dakshina. He explained, today Guru put the seed mantra in your heart. That seed will be a sprout, then a plant, then a tree, then it will bloom, flowers will come, then fruits will come. When that fruit will be ripened, that fruit you give to your guru. That is called Guru Dakshina. That means God realization. When a guru waits, when his disciple will realize God. It is a beautiful interpretation of Guru Dakshina I heard from the Swami. Guru Dakshina. After this tonight, next section is very, very, this dialogue is so powerful. Nobody can translate those words. It is impossible. That force, translation cannot make. Translation is not so easy. First, you must know both languages equally. Second, you should not have any ego. You must be one with the author. You must have to love that book. You must know what is in the author's mind and then express it. It should not be literal. At the same time, it should not be free. Free translation, literal translation, no. It should be meaningful, beautiful, faithful. Meaningful, beautiful, faithful. That is a great thing for a translator. It is not so easy. His spirit, to bring Swamiji's spirit, that language. Very difficult. Yeah, Jomer Bari chole ja. Go to the house of the Jama. Die. The way he my goodness, I have come to for initiation, and a guru says, go to the house of death. What kind of guru is this? Shh, powerful guru. He asked one disciple. He took his hand and shook, go! The disciple found Swamiji transmitted power in him. Just holding the hand and shook it, go, preach. He transmitted power. He is not an ordinary person.